Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue making our way through the first letter of St. John. The church gives us a look at these letters each day in the daily readings. I'm not exactly following those readings, but I'm taking some of the key themes that the readings that were given sort of touch on because they're repeated in John's letter. And I'm just, before we begin today, just appreciating the gift and the treasure that the Word of God is for each and every one of us. It's God's personal love letter to you and to me. This word is both the writing of St. John and what John intended to write, but he wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 3 years he lived intimately with Jesus, as were all the other apostles. They were in his inner circle. They lived with him every day, and John, we're given the indication that John had a particularly powerful relationship with Jesus, called the beloved apostle. And so what we're getting here is not just a typical history book or something. This is a inspired word that comes from the heart of God, working through the heart and the mind of the person of St. John, who knew Jesus intimately and loved him, and someone who relates to us, that is, to those he was writing, as a brother. And he wants us to know what he knew for sure, and he experienced directly from Jesus, what matters most to God. So lots of times people ask me, well, you know, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's will is for my life. And I often ask people, well, number one, are you praying and praying consistently, trying to listen to God? And number two, are you reading God's word? You know, Pope Benedict XVI said back, I think as far back as 2005 or something, he said he believed that the secret to a new spiritual springtime for the church was the daily reading of the Word of God by all the baptized. And he said, this is because Jesus Christ comes to us in every page of this Bible, and it's God-breathed. It is inspired by God, and it has the power, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, to cut right to our hearts. It's a sharp sword, and it examines our hearts in relationship to God. It's God's truth being communicated to us in love, and it teaches us, informs us. It's like, years ago, I used to talk about this a little bit more, Father Francis Martin gave an image to me, not just to me, but to a group of us in a talk that just, I never forgot, I found it so helpful. He said, you know, our mind is a little bit like a sponge. And if you take a sponge and throw it into a puddle of dirty water, it'll absorb that dirty water. And that's what our mind is like living in the world. The world is both good and evil. It's fallen. And there's just a lot of junk that we can put in our minds every day, and that we can have habit patterns of thinking that are radically inconsistent with God, with the light of God, with the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, whether it's discouragement, things like self-hatred, pride, lust, anger, all these kinds of things. And then the images the world brings us and the sounds that are many times at best neutral and many times just radically inconsistent to the dignity of the human person. So that's like our mind absorbs that stuff. And he said, the Word of God is like a clear, crystal clear stream, that if you took that dirty sponge and just put it under that stream of water, in that flow of cleansing, purifying water, and just rinse it out, it'll purify the sponge. And the Word of God is like that. And so we've been talking, like yesterday we spoke about John's emphasis on walking in the light as opposed to the darkness and our battle against sin, and how easy it is to deceive ourselves and say, you know, hey, I'm fine. I don't really need a God. I don't need God's salvation. I don't need a savior, really. People don't say it directly like that, but they don't have any concern. I mean, we don't need to say it. The question is, how are you living your life? Are you going to confession ever? Are you reading God's word daily? Are people following God? Are they receiving the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ? Or are they indifferent to it? And people are mostly indifferent because they don't think it's an issue. They don't need it. And even baptized people often live like people around them who don't even know God, who are indifferent to God. And we get into the habit patterns of life in the broader culture. We end up living differently than Christ has called us to live. And as John is calling us, he's calling us back to the basics. of radical surrender of our lives in love to God, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love of neighbor as the foundation of everything that we've been called to. So he talked about the importance of confessing our sins, and now we're going to get into the beginning of chapter 2, where he begins, he continues the theme, and he says, "My little children, I'm writing this." Isn't it amazing how the apostles speak so affectionately toward those that they're leading and caring? They just have a lot of affection. And if there's any bishops listening to the program or any priests, brothers, I want to encourage you to learn how to speak with affection. Don't be insecure about it or awkward about it, but talk to those in the parishes, the beloved sometimes in your homily. You're the beloved, right? With this kind of affection. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's in the heart of St. John. And so that's how he relates, and he's relating to us in the letter this way. He said, "I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So notice how right here at the beginning of the letter, what love leads John to speak to the brethren about. This is what love looks like. Love lives in the real world. Love speaks the truth in love. There's no love without the truth, and there's no truth without love. John Paul reminds us, and St. Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta, taught that very thing, and St. John Paul underlined that about her. So what John knows, and he's living and he's abiding in the love of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me, that is, if you live in me, that means living in my love, his love is truth, and he's going to lead us to truth, and there's no deception. There's no playing games. There's no double life that's in God, it's in the Son, or in anyone, ultimately, who's been called to follow Jesus. And life in the Holy Spirit is essentially a life that's empowered to be honest, to tell the truth, to walk in humility, and to be able to tell the truth about our lives. So John's speaking to you right now. He's speaking to me. He said, "I'm writing to you." Put your name there, right? Whatever your name is, I'll say it. "I'm writing to you, Peter, so that you may not sin." He doesn't want me to sin. He's concerned about me because he's a good shepherd. "But if you do sin, I want you to know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." What does that mean? Jesus is living in the presence of the Father, and he's bearing in his body the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side, which will be there for all eternity. Now they radiate in glory, but they're real, and the Father sees Jesus, he became a sacrifice for our sin. He paid the price for your sin and mine. John says here, and he's the expiation for our sins. That means Jesus puts away our sin. If we're living in Jesus, and we're walking in him, and we fall and we stumble, he knows he's got great mercy toward us and tenderness. What he doesn't have tenderness and mercy toward is hardness of heart. Pride and arrogance has said, look, I'm not going to confession. I don't need to talk to some priest, or I'm not going to do something humiliating like that. But he loves a humble heart that says, Lord, I want to love you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying yes to this habit pattern of sin. I'm sorry for doing what I've done. I've offended you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the work of the Spirit in us. And so John is saying, don't be discouraged by your sin. Jesus doesn't come to condemn you of your sin, but he doesn't hide it. He doesn't want you to hide your sin, because that's trouble. And I want to encourage preachers and teachers of the faith, don't be afraid to talk about sin. I think it's crazy that we don't speak the way the apostles speak to one another and to our people, and the way Jesus spoke and taught the way Jesus taught. We should pay attention to what they talk about and talk about the same things in the exact same way that they talk about it. Just be faithful to it. Sometimes preachers, I don't want to discourage people, and I don't want to act like I'm way up here and they're way down there. I don't want to fire and brimstone people. Look, number one, I was trying to figure out how many masses I've gone to in my life, which means how many homilies I've heard. I don't know, 10,000? Who knows? I have never heard a fire and brimstone proclamation like people talk about in the church. I mean, this doesn't happen very much in the Catholic Church. And rarely do we hear a priest really break open the reality of sin and what sin is, because they're somehow afraid that people can't handle it, or they'll be discouraged, or they don't want to come back. Look, talking about this doesn't discourage me at all. I mean, my heart right now is just full of the truth that John and his love is bringing to us. And imagine, Father, I want to talk to the priests who are listening today. You know, you're giving a homily, you're standing in front of your people. Take the Bible that you're reading from at some point and just hold it over your head, directly over your head, and tell your people, I'm not above this word. I'm under this word just like you. And all I want to do is faithfully say, hey, brothers and sisters, look at what God is saying to us. Look at what he's saying about the way of love. Look at what he's saying about what stands in the way of that love and the warnings that he gives us at times. Don't be afraid to talk about them. You know, Jesus talks a lot. He warns us a lot. He talks a lot about the consequences of sin. This is why John is being faithful. He's being faithful to Jesus here, the one who he loves, and he loves the people enough to tell him the truth. This is how the word, St. Paul says, he washes us in the word. One of the reasons why the faithful, many of the baptized, are dull and slothful and uninspired, not engaged in the mission, caught in habit patterns of sin, don't show up to church very often, is precisely because they haven't had the word of God proclaim to them in a way that brings conviction, that brings inspiration, that brings the cleansing and the transformation and repentance that happens when the power of the Word of God is communicated. So I just want to encourage you. I'm not condemning you. I just want to encourage you to deliver the mail with all your heart under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and don't hold back. So he's the expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Boy, does John know that truth. He saw, he was there at the cross when Jesus bled and died. Jesus hung naked on a cross, bleeding from his side, his hands and his feet. His whole body was whipped and the skin ripped right off his body. And that blood was shed. By his stripes, we were healed. And John knows it. And he knows how serious sin is because he beheld the Son of God hanging on a cross. And as St. John Paul II used to say, he saw the face of sin. What's at the root of sin? Hatred for God. Hatred for God. The opposite of love and the love of God. And love came in the person of Jesus. And what did the sin-sick human heart do? Silenced his voice. I mean, just went after him. And believed lies and temptation from the temptation of the devil, and the rage and the hatred of hell for Christ was witnessed right there, revealed right there on the cross. But lucky for us, it's more than luck, it's God's grace and mercy. The devil bites his own tail, which he does all the time. And he ended up doing the one thing he never should have done, shed the blood of Christ that makes us clean. Verse 3, and by this we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly love for God is perfected. Let's keep the word of God. Let's help each other keep the word of God, friends, so God's love can be perfected in us. Have a great weekend. Hope you can tune in again next week. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.